my little baby, Serena, and I get out on this little floaty, this little bench that floats in the swimming pool almost every day. The simplest things in the world seem to have the most profound meaning to me. And you know, we started singing a song because we row when we're in the little thing, and she sits up there on my stomach, and she loves to sing, and she's the happiest little thing you've ever seen. And she'll sit up there and have her legs over on the either side and just sit there. And we started singing the song because I would push like I was a rowboat, and I would sing, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Everybody's heard it. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And I got to thinking about that because Serena loves it. Whoa, she can't say ours. Whoa, 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 double. Denty down the dream. Merrily, life is but a dream. Think about it. Think about it. Thought. Row, row, row. Live, live, live. Work, work, work. Row, row, row. Whose boat? Whose boat? Your boat. Don't row my boat. Don't row your neighbor's boat. Your neighbor might like to be in a cabin cruiser, and you might like to be in a dinghy. That's okay. One likes to row, one has a power boat. That's okay. Row, row, row your boat. Gently. Gently. Always with kindness. Gently. Always with kindness. Always with an understanding that everybody else has a right to cultivate their own garden or row their own boat the way they want to row. Next word. Down the stream. It doesn't say row, row, row your boat gently up the stream. You can't row up the stream. You can. A lot of us do it. We're fighting the currents all the time. We're not going down the stream and enjoying it and loving it. We're going up the stream and we're working really hard, and the currents are always going to win. Always. How do you row your boat gently down the stream? Always merrily, 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 merrily. Always merrily. Always happily. Always with love. Always enjoying it. Because when you're going down the stream and rowing your own boat, there's no other way. Life is but a dream. It's all a dream. And you create what you need for it. Isn't that a beautiful song? And so simple. So easy. It's a nice song. It's a nice thought. It's an important message. Every cell that has harmony within it cannot have the opposite within it. When it does, it cooperates. You're a cell, you cooperate. When you're not, you don't. I've come to know that if you unclog yourself, that arteries, you know how arteries get clogged with cholesterol? Well, I think of the soul like that. It's clogging. There's three things that clog it up. One is negativity. It clogs you, just like cholesterol will clog your arteries. And when you don't have negativity, that is when you're letting people row their own boat, then you begin to see life completely different than you've ever seen it before. You're not looking for anything to be down. You're not finding fault with other people. Negativity and judgment. These are the two biggies. Judgment. Hear this. Hear this sentence. When you judge another, you do not define them. They are already defined. You define yourself. What else could you be doing? The judgment's coming out of you. It's yours. You're the one who owns it. So every time you judge another human being, find fault with them, find something that you don't like, put them down, whatever, you are not defining them, even though you may think you are, because you're stuck back here in form. When you're transformed, that is when you go beyond form, you see that you've just defined yourself. So now what you do is you practice non-judgmental behavior towards everyone and everything. And you honor the God in all life. You celebrate it. The fat, the skinny, the tall, the short, the dark, the light. Those who choose to believe one way and those who choose to believe another. The minute that you put them down, or anyone does, and then as you become more and more and more enlightened, you know what happens? You see how other people do it and how it's impossible for you to do it anymore. I never look at anything that comes into my life anymore as anything other than just what's supposed to be there. I don't judge it. I don't analyze it. I don't get mad at it. I'm not negative toward it. I just accept it.
When you walk through that gate, you never go back again. You never go back to judgment again. I mean, judgment, can you imagine anything more stupid? Imagine going up to a tree and saying, look, you got moss all over you. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're disgusting. Why don't you take care of yourself? All you have to do is treat each other like that. All we have to do is treat each other like you have a right to be who you are and what you are. And wherever you are in your path is exactly where you're supposed to be. All of us. And it's like getting that dualism out of us and understanding that everything in the world is perfect, including your desire to improve it. And that's the paradox. Even the starving people, even the AIDS, even the diseases that are out there, all of that is part of the perfection of it all. Judging it doesn't do any good. Suffering is a part of it, and our desire to end suffering is also a part of it. And you don't have to fight it. You don't have to be in dualism with it. Because in this place where there are no boundaries, where there are no limits, there are none of those things that I just described. And when you have that, that's all you have to give away. And when that's what you give away, that's how you react to everything and everyone. And so you run into people. I don't run into the rude people anymore. They're not in my life anymore. I never see them anymore. You want to try a great exercise? Just try this. The next time you're in an airport and you've got a delay or a bus station or wherever you are, just go to a 747 that is unloading, that's full. And everybody that comes off of the plane, try to find something nice about them. No matter who, no matter what they are, no matter how ugly you think they are, no matter how smelly you think they might be, no matter that they're so different from you, don't have that in you. It's like everybody that comes, what a great smile. Oh, look at that lovely person over there. Look at, isn't that a lovely grandmother over there? And not, oh, she's old. Ugh, I don't like those young kids. Ugh, I don't like the way they wear their hair. That's all judgment. All the judgment that you have in your life is clogging you. Judgment, negativity, and imbalance are the things that will clog you. And until you get rid of them, you will never know this level, pure thought. It's a wonderful exercise. We're all on a path, you see. We're all on the same path. We're just on different places along the path. We're all part of this perfection of the universe. And you start seeing the people as being there. And you also begin to see that they have to go through that. I heard an interview with somebody who was a musician not too long ago. And he was a classical musician, and the people that were interviewing him were also expert in this whole area. And they were all putting down rock music, and they were putting down some of the harsher forms of music as being uncivilized or more barbaric. And this one fellow who was very enlightened, he said, when I was 17 or 18 years old, I was a rock musician, and I would play that stuff real loud, and it would drive my family crazy and all of these kind of things. And then I moved from that into more sort of contemporary kind of music and ballads and things like that. And I had very little to do with the rock music. Now, he said, I compose classical music, and he plays classical music. And he said that each one of the places that I was at along the path, I needed to be at in order to be here. You can't be looking at somebody else who is not playing the kind of music that you like and judge them as wrong or improper or uncivilized. You have to get judgment out of you completely. And when you understand that judgment is a thought, and that when you judge another person, you don't define them. You define yourself with your judgments. That's a definition of you, putting people into these slots and categories. If you see them not so much as where they should be or where I would like them to be, but as where they are. And where they are is absolutely necessary. So you see them as here in this music analogy, playing this kind of music that is maybe offensive to people who know classical music or whatever. But you don't judge any of that. You say they have to be there. And if they're going to get someplace else along the line, then they have to do that as well. You begin to see that that makes sense for other people. In other words, if you're going to try to understand others in your life, you have to understand them as wherever they are in the path is where they have to be in order to get to the next place along the path. And you don't judge any of it. You accept it. So that seems very sensible for other people. But it also applies to ourselves, you see, so that everything that we are doing that we know isn't working for us, the constant striving, the constant seeking of approval, the depressions that we may be going through, the relationships that we're in which we're allowing other people to control us, the pursuit of stuff in order for us to have it and all of that, you don't judge yourself along where you are now and say, I shouldn't be doing this. Instead, you get to the point where you see yourself as having to go through this in order to get past it. in order to get to a point where it doesn't matter whether you have these things or don't have them. And then the irony is you'll have all that you need. It'll all come to you in the amount that is sufficient to take care of your needs. There's no room for judgment any place in an awakened person or in a higher consciousness person. And you'll only see it when you believe it. When you really believe that and you catch yourself, I do it all the time. I will be talking to my wife and I'll say, well, not to be judgmental, but... and then I proceed to be judgmental about this thing that I don't like or that person who did something terrible to another human being in the newspaper. Maybe somebody killed somebody or somebody stole money from somebody or embezzled or whatever it is. And I'll read it and I'll see that I am being judgmental about it, but I sort of know to announce that I'm not really being judgmental. I'm really sort of above being judgmental, and then I proceed to be judgmental. Well, I don't stop myself and say, I shouldn't be being judgmental right now any longer. What I do is I accept that I have to identify that. I still have some judgmental stuff in me, and as long as I am judging other people, I'm not defining them. I'm defining myself. And then the next time, I'm less inclined to do that. And the next time, I'm less inclined to do that. Until eventually you get to the point where you can see people's behavior for what it is. You don't have to like it. You don't have to love it. You don't have to tell yourself that people have a right to hurt other people or anything like that. What you do is you stop judging it and you see them where they are. And then you do the same thing to yourself. You see yourself where you are. And then you realize that everything that you do, you need to do in order to get to the next step and the next and the next. And before long, the stuff that you were obsessed about that you had to have, you have more of it than you ever had before in your life, and it doesn't matter whether you have it or not. But as long as you have to have it, everything that you have to have owns you. That means you don't own yourself. And you're less and less and less consumed with it. And the irony is that you get more and more and more of it. And if you give more of it away, and you treat it all in a non-judgmental, loving way, that whatever you're getting in, you just keep circulating, and you're not attached to any of it. It just keeps moving and moving and moving, and your whole life changes. Anything that you say that you make important, you now put a judgment on it, and you attach yourself to it. But I don't go that far to say that nothing is. Even though someplace in me, I wonder if that doesn't limit me. Limit me in the sense that a bad judgment is just as self-defeating or is just as unenlightened as a good judgment is. But nevertheless, I still have those. And I differ with a lot of the Eastern philosophers, which I have been studying a lot lately because I'm writing this book and doing these tapes and so on. I want to be informed about what I'm talking about. I think something that a lot of philosophers say isn't important, this whole business of attachment and so on, that is being love, being harmony, being serenity, rowing your own boat gently down the stream, merrily, and understanding that it's all a dream. In Gifts from Icus, I talk about there is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. And the explanation of that is that most people are searching for happiness. They're always looking for it. They're trying to find it in someone or something else. And that's a fundamental mistake. Happiness is something that you are, and it comes from the way that you think. And happiness is something that if you have it inside of you, you bring it to everything that you do. You bring it to your interviews. You bring it to your children. You have it, and you bring it. You're not trying to get it. That's the opposite. One is trying to get it out of something, and the other is bringing it to something. Well, enlightenment is like that as well. If you're always looking for it, trying to find it, it will always elude you. And that's true of not just enlightenment and happiness, it's true of success. A successful person is not a person who makes a lot of money. A successful person brings success to everything that he does, and money is one of the payoffs that they get for it. Enlightenment is the same thing. Enlightenment is something that you bring to all of your interactions, all of your thought processes, all of your life experiences. It's really an attitude or an approach to life. And that attitude or approach is one of living in the light. And living in the light means that you're moving towards yourself. You're not ever moving away from yourself. And you see the perfection in yourself and who you are. You don't question the universe. You see everything and everyone in it as exactly where they're supposed to be. You have an absence of judgment and negativity. You are balanced as a human being. You're on purpose. Purpose is something that will find you, and that you will bring to everything that you have, that you do in your life. A good analogy is trying not to think of something. If you try not to think of something, you're trying, and it becomes really difficult for you to not think about it because you're so into trying. Well, enlightenment is a state of mind in which once you have it, and once you accept yourself and your perfection, then there's no more trying. People will come up to me and they will hear some of my tapes or they will have read some of my books and they'll say, I'm a seeker too. And I'm always kind of amused at that because they assume that I'm a seeker because I talk about higher truths and universal laws and higher principles that elude so many people. And I remind them, I'm not a seeker. I'm not looking for anything. I'm just evolving. I'm just merrily, you know. I'm going through the dream and I'm enjoying it all. And I'm bringing it to everything that I do, and I'm not trying to get anything out of it from anyone. And I think that's really what enlightenment is the way means for me. If you take a piece of food, a bite of food, and you start chewing the food, now you've got to do a lot of things with that food in order to make it apply to you. And you even have to ask yourself, how do I do this? Let's say it's just a salad, a bite of salad, and you've got lettuce, and you've got it in your mouth. Now you've got to get some saliva into your mouth to help you with that. You're not busy salivating. You're not trying to salivate. Your body knows exactly what it's supposed to do. And then you swallow it. And you don't look at the peristaltic reactions in your throat and esophagus in order to make that food go down instead of up. It never goes up into your nose. I mean, once in a while, you're really doing something silly. But I mean, your food, you don't swallow your food and say, oh, wait a minute, I put it into my nose. It's not supposed to go there. It goes where it's supposed to. And then it breaks down. Okay, it doesn't stay. You don't have just this great big piece of lettuce floating around through your body and tomatoes, you know, in your body and saying, where does this tomato go? You chew it up and all different kinds of enzymes start attacking this piece of food. And it goes exactly where it's supposed to. And it goes through the digestive system. And out of that comes certain kinds of chemicals that send it to all the different parts of your body. Your pancreas needs a little lettuce today. And, you know, without some lettuce, your toes are going to fall off. And every place in your body gets the proper nutrients, and you don't have to do anything. You're not busy doing that. You're not going around saying, oh, my gosh, got to get all of this done. I've got so much to do with this digestion. I got to make sure that the pancreas works and my duodenum works. And then it's got to go into your intestines, and that has to be turned into waste somehow. And you're not saying, oh, how do I turn this lettuce into waste? How am I going to get that out? You know, what do I have to do? You're not busy doing any of that. It all works in harmony and perfection. Your heart is beating, and it beats thousands of times every single day, tens of thousands of times, every day, day in and day out. You're not busy beating your heart. You don't go around saying, I got to beat my heart, and I constantly am beating my heart. Your heart beats perfectly, and you don't have to do any of it, and yet you are controlling it all. Enlightenment is like that. You get in harmony, you start functioning perfectly, and your heartbeat, if you will, your who you are as a human being, connected to all of the perfect places you're supposed to be connected to, all of the thought processes, it all just happens. It all works. You don't have to go around thinking every minute about, oh my, is this an enlightened response? Am I using higher consciousness here? I don't know if I'm being spiritual enough when I did this. Did I say the right thing? You don't have to do any of that, any more than you have to beat your heart or work your digestive system. It all works and functions perfectly when you're not questioning it, when you are in harmony with it. And if you're not, then you're doing this very same thing as if you were trying to make the lettuce go to the right place and the tomato go to the right place and get all the proper nutrients. You couldn't do it anyway. You would get so mixed up and so puzzled by it. Or if you started trying to beat your heart, you wouldn't do that. You let it work. And that's the way you have to see yourself within the universe. Allow yourself to work perfectly. The way you do that is you focus on yourself. You don't try to row other people's boats. You do it gently. And you have respect and love for everyone. And these universal laws that we're talking about here are the very same thing as the laws that work for digestion or the laws that work in your cardiopulmonary system. There are certain rules and laws that apply to those. The certain enzymes are released instantaneously, and it all happens in a perfect way all through all of these laws. Well, there are transcendent laws as well. And when you are in harmony with them, you are enlightenment. You're not seeking it.
This is the end of Side 8. Please fast forward the tape to cue up Side 7 for your next listening.